And remember Brother Glenn and Sister Hilda and the Parnells, they are traveling back tonight, and Brother Tom, they're missed this morning. And I know they got to travel back today, I believe it is, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And just pray for them as they're traveling, and that God keep their hands on them while they're on the road. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you're there, when you get there, just give me a good amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. Very familiar reading verses of Scripture. And I actually, here recently, me and Brother Richard were out here reading the Bible together. And I took them here and was showing them these verses of Scripture, because these verses of Scripture really helped me when I first got saved. You know, I was coming from a lifestyle of sin and iniquity, and I didn't understand everything, to be honest with you. I still today can't say I know everything, but I understand a lot more today than I did then. But I remember these verses of Scripture was always something that helped me. And I just was praying this week and asking God for some direction. And has anybody ever had a mind battle? Anybody? Honestly? And some people says yea, and some say nay to that. Some people don't believe you have mind. I've had plenty of mind battles throughout the ages and times. There's been many of times I've had questions in mind. And what a mind battle is when you're just going through something in your mind. You're trying to find victory over something, or God's trying to lead you into something, and you need direction. Well, we're going to deal today with the battlefield of the mind. And in 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 gives us a little insight here. And we're going to read in verse 3 through verse 6, and this is what it says. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, it says this: "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And then he gives us the list of what these strongholds are in verse 5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Verse 6, And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Amen. That's the reading today. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You today. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for this time together this Sunday morning. I would, Lord, this morning, God, that You would help somebody in this building. God, that somebody here today, maybe a new convert, maybe somebody that has been saved for years, God, that are going through this mind battle. God, or maybe we know somebody that are going through the mind battles, are going through different spiritual warfares that we read about in the Bible. I would today, God, that You would anoint me, or I stand before You today, God, needing Your touch, needing Your anointing. God, I know that does not hinge on man or man opinion, but God, it does hinge on You, dear Father, and we need You today. Give us the anointing, the guidance, and the understanding. In Jesus' name, we do love You. And everybody said, amen, amen. I don't know if you realize it today, and I'm sure you do when I say that, but how many knows today that spiritually we are at war? Does everybody know that? There has been an epic battle, if you don't mind me saying, from the Garden of Eden, and it's still taking place today, even though, you know, many thought the Lord would come by now. But we know that there is a spiritual conflict that's been going on throughout the ages and throughout the years. But I want to tell you today that that spiritual warfare is still taking place today. There has not came a place in time or in society where the devil is dead. You know the devil's still alive, don't you? You know, demons are still real. You know, sin is still rampant in this age. And when I think of this today, and I've had the privilege and the opportunity to do, I've been in just about every facet of ministry I believe there is. And I don't say that braggingly, but I've been a lay minister in a church. I've been a young minister. I've been a missionary. And I've been a pastor now, and I've been an evangelist. So I've done quite a few things, and I've been able to travel quite a bit. And what I have discovered, and this is not no profound discovery, I have found that throughout America and in America and in Africa, different places, people are going through things in their mind. The human mind, that complicated human mind, and we know in the Bible when you begin to study, the mind and the heart coincides. When it talks about the heart at times, sometimes it's really referring not to that physical organ, but it's talking about the heart of the mind. So we know that they coincide, but people are going through things in their mind. I cannot tell you how many times I've been to a church and preached a revival, and during the altar call, I looked down in the altars and seen somebody holding their faith, their face in their hands, them shaking their heads. And I would go down being cordial as an evangelist or as a preacher or a pastor. I would go down and I would say, are you okay? Is there anything you would like to say or something I can help you with? And a lot of times, I probably could tell you 20 or 30 times, that person would look up with tears running down their face and they would say, "Brother Derek, I am going through this battle in my mind. I know that I'm saved, but I still have a sense where the enemy is fighting me. He is attacking my heart. He's attacking my mind. He's attacking my family." And look, today I want you to understand, mind battles can resource from different places. Sometimes a mind battle can come from a tragedy in a family. It can come from a lost loved one. It can come from somebody who was raised in church and is no longer saved. And there, you watch them as they're straying and your mind is conflicted, trying to figure out why they are doing what they are doing. But your mind also can be thrown into battles if there's sin in your life, if there's things that are going on in your heart that you've yet to have victory over, or even at times, if you're living in disobedience or not in the will of God, and there's things going on. Mind battles can come from so many different places. It can come, some people get sick and instantly they're thrust into a mind battle. Some people, has somebody in their family that dies and they're thrust into a mind battle. So I'm telling you today, there is an epic battle in this world. And if anybody knows anything about the New Testament, we're no longer facing a physical Goliath, but we're facing spiritual Goliaths of the mind. The mind is the battlefield of the New Testament believer. We're facing battles in our minds. Now, you may not say, I'm not saying everybody is, but I know somebody is. I know God's led me to deal with this today. So we understand this today. We know that in the New Testament, that when it comes to the mind and the conscience, the Bible gives us so much light on these subjects. So many different areas we could talk about, different areas we could go in. But when we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 today, Paul says this. Paul reveals what our spiritual warfare is all about in the New Testament. Many different times he does this, but here he says this. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after what? The flesh." He's saying, even though we live in this flesh, we walk in this flesh, and I don't know if you like it or not, or if you understand this or not, everybody in this room today, you know what kind of body you have? It's a human body. I don't know if you knew. Yeah, I know you know that. You're smart folks. It takes me a while to figure this stuff out. We're living in human bodies. You do have human tendencies. You are a human being. You are frail. One day, if you like it or not, if the Lord tarries, guess what? All of us, one day, are going to die. If the Lord does tarry, I will do that. I can already tell today, I'm only 27 years old, but this whole body is starting to decay in some form. Hey, man, I go to these youth meetings, I pull more muscles. My knees hurt and all this. And you say, "Brother Derek, well, you're not that old." Well, it's true. I know that the body will fail you. But understand, not only will your physical body fail you, but that mind of yours is something that people face all of the time. We have to be honest today, my friends, that all of us today live in a human body. We live in a fallen world. And with that comes a multitude of things that causes the believer to face conflict day after day. It could be on your job. It could be your family. It could be politics. It could be something in the church where that mind begins almost like a wheel. It begins to turn and things begin to bother us. And my friend, I'm telling you today, we can overcome mind battles through the name of Jesus Christ. God can give us victory. Oh, Brother Carl here, I had a chance, Brother Carl Parnell. He has a lot of wisdom in there. And I sat down one day when he was kind of going through something a while back when he was sick, and he said something that just stuck out to him. I said, "How you doing, Brother Carl?" I was talking to him. I said, "How you doing, Brother Carl?" He was holding his head. He said, "I'll tell you, Brother Derek," he said, "your mind is just like water." He said, "Sometimes it tries to take the path of least resistance." And what he was saying is this, at times when you're going through something, it's very easy for your mind to go places or think things that you really don't want there. You don't doubt God. You know that God is faithful. But it's sometimes as soon as the enemy comes in, the enemy tries to make your mind think that the Lord has failed you or left you behind or does not care about you. But we know that the devil is the father of all lies. But because we live in this flesh, we have this natural default that wants us to try to handle things and do things on the plane of the flesh, doesn't it? Come on now, you with me? You're still human. You ain't got that new body yet, amen. You may think you're that pretty, but you're not there yet. I don't have that new body yet. You don't have that new body yet. And all of us have that default mode, if you know what I mean. Sometimes when somebody says something sharp to you, you know, being a Christian, you don't say nothing sharp back to them. But the devil wants to try to make you say something or tries to put something in your mind. That old fallen man tries to resurrect, as Paul says in Romans chapter 7. But we've got to understand today, you cannot default back to the flesh. You've got to know that God's faithful, and you've got to live in the Spirit regardless of what this world tries to do. So everybody here today, my friend, you have that tendency, it's in you, that if you're not careful, you'll try to handle things on the flesh, on the plane, and on the level of flesh. There's some things that even you wouldn't say was bad, but to tell you, my friend, sometimes your tongue can operate on the plane of the flesh. Amen? Come on now. Something you don't like, so you say something to your neighbor. No, sir. Some things you got to pray through about. Some things you got to let the Holy Ghost help you with. You cannot deal with it on the level of the flesh, because, my friend, sometimes we walk in the flesh and we do not war after the flesh, but we must understand that our warfare is deeper than the flesh. It is a spiritual thing. Everybody in this room today, underneath the sound of my voice, it doesn't matter what you're facing today, I tell you, there could be spiritual issues underneath the surface that you don't even know about. Sometimes we may be even go to a restaurant, or we're walking out, maybe you're going shopping or something. You see somebody and you see the way they're dressed, and you see the way they look. Sometimes they look gothic, sometimes they look gleam and dark and all these different things. Instantly you begin to look at that and say, man, something's wrong with him. But I want to tell you today, friend, the reason that person dresses that way is because there's a spiritual issue in their life. You cannot just handle things on the level of the flesh. So Paul goes on to say in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Paul is showing us here that you've got to take a different approach in this world. He was saying, though he was a human as anyone else, he did not depend on the human, but he depended on the divine. Here today, my friend, you cannot depend on the human nature. You cannot depend on that natural man. You've got to learn to depend on the divine, the Spirit being led of the Spirit. Those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit. And you've got to make sure today that you're handling things on a spiritual level and not on a carnal level. Amen. We have this tendency to do this, and I've watched it ruin churches. And I'm not saying here, but I'm saying I've watched it ruin churches. Somebody gets hurt, so you know what they do? They try to handle it in the flesh. They try to do something in the flesh, and instantly when they do something to somebody else in the flesh, it causes the person that they say something to, they respond in the flesh. Then their family responds in the flesh. And it's almost like a wildfire that cannot be contained until everybody starts over and forgiveness flows through us. I'm telling you, friend, we've got to make sure we do not try to handle anything on a fleshy plane. But Paul is letting us know today, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Don't you try to grab a spear or a sword. You better go to that prayer closet. You better pray through about it. That's what God desires for everybody here today. We've got to understand this. Now, I want you to notice something today that is very interesting in the Bible. And in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, where it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That word warfare there in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, it actually means just as you begin to study it, that word warfare there means a spirit. It means an actual military campaign. Anybody know what a military campaign is? I've got the definition here because I'm not as smart as some, and this is what it says. It says, a military campaign is a military science. The term military campaign applies to a large-scale, long-duration, a significant military strategy plan incorporating a series of military operations for battles forming in a distinct part of a larger conflict, often called a war. And in that military campaign, the whole idea is this, you have a goal in mind, and you're not going to stop until you conquer what you want to conquer. Don't you think in Genesis chapter 3, where the devil tempted Eve, don't you think he had something in mind? Do you think today that 6,000 years, give or take some later. Here we are in 2014. I want to tell you today, my friend, that Satan's military campaign is still alive and well. He still has goals. He still has desires. He still is constructing weapons to defeat the believer. He has been studying man for 6,000 years. Tell me today, friend, I know this today, that the enemy has launched a war against the church and against humanity. And we've got to be able to realize how he is fighting against us. Has anybody ever heard before? It was called the Ghost Army in the United States in World War II. Anybody ever heard of that? The Ghost Army was something pretty interesting. I'm going somewhere with this. But the Ghost Army was a military strategy that America actually used during World War II. And what they would do, they went out, and I forget how many tanks and different things they got. I have a little bit. It was called the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops. The 1,100-man unit was giving a unique mission within the U.S. Army to impersonate other U.S. Army units to deceive the enemy. And what they did, what the American military did this, they had all these different tanks, and what they were, these tanks were inflatable tanks. Now think about that. There were tanks that you actually blew up with air, like a giant balloon. And they also had Humvees and different things. And what they would do, and it was an actual strategy they used for years, and it did work. They would blow up all these different things, all these different, and they had a balloon army. Anybody ever heard of a balloon army before? It was pretty interesting. You watch videos on it. They actually go up to the tanks. If you kicked it hard enough, it would move. But what they did, they impersonated a fake army. It was a balloon. It was called a ghost army. And that way, when the enemy spies would take pictures or the enemy spies would come, it looked like the military was hitting that way. But in reality, the military was hitting another way. They were looking at balloon tanks. They were looking at, and they even made a fake code language to where they were letting the enemy actually decipher the language, and it was actually deceiving them. They were giving them false pointers and all of this. And the whole strategy was this. They wanted to throw the enemy off so that they did not know where the enemy was coming from, so that America had the upper hand. When the enemy thought they were coming this way, they were really coming from a complete different way. It was pretty smart, wasn't it? The devil's done the same thing to the church. Sometimes we think we're looking at what the enemy's doing, and we don't even have a clue what he's doing. And I'll tell you this, you ain't going to have a clue what he's doing if you're not walking in the Spirit. Hear me. There's still some churches I've been to, they're still trying to fight this and fight that. And I thought to myself, I wish it was that easy nowadays. I wish it was just as simple as this. I'm telling you, the enemy has inflated so many things, and instantly sometimes people jump at this and jump at that. But I'm telling you, my friend, the enemy is very well organized. He has led a military campaign against the church. And I want to tell you where the battle is today. The battle is in that mind. It's not my job as a preacher just to focus on something outward all the time. I better figure out what's going on up here. If I can control the way a man thinks, I can control what a man does. The Bible says this in Proverbs 23:7, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have to understand this today, my friend. People, the way a man thinks is the very thing that deceives him. If you cannot control, if we cannot indoctrinate people in our churches to understand, it's the way that we think. The reason we have church issues is because the way people think sometimes. The reason we have certain events that take place in this world is because of the way people think. And when somebody gets saved, then the first thing we better do, we better start changing their way of thinking. They better learn, you better get a new mind in Christ Jesus. You better change the way that you appear and the way that you think about things. Paul gives us a little more insight because there's a great contrast here. The battlefield of the mind. This warfare we are fighting is one that is spiritual, and the battlefield is the mind. The enemy knows that if he can control the way that you think, that he has you. Why do you think that Hollywood is doing a very good job now? I don't agree with it, but they're working overtime to control the way that your children and your grandchildren think. They know what they're doing. Why do you think Hollywood does such a good job at controlling even the way men and women think? Think about this. You don't even comprehend, I don't think. I don't comprehend. Let's put us in this. We are living in the digital native generation. Does anybody know what that is? Generation Y. Generation Y is raised on the television, is raised on the internet. It has children, and it goes into the full life on the internet. Everything it does is exposed to a screen. And the enemy has done a great job in this battlefield of our mind. This is a campaign of us at times. We've got to make covenant with our eyes, and we've got to understand that the enemy is doing everything he can to control the way they think. You say, Brother Derek, is everything bad? I'm not saying everything is bad, but I am saying this. You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful that you don't let this world control the way that you think. The Bible says, be not conformed, what, to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. I don't know about you. There's some stuff I don't want in my mind. You've got to be careful. Every now and then, you know, there's still some clean things in this world. I know that, but you still got to be careful. I'm just not the kind of guy. I don't like people getting killed. Is that anybody's favorite thing? I just not me. But you know, if you ain't careful, you can let so much of this world and this influence come into your mind. Why do you think we have some of the stuff going on that we do? Now, I may have told this here before, but just for the sake of the message, years ago, before I was born again, I was in jail. It's out on the table. I won't save, and I made a bad decision. While I was in jail, there was a man, there was a boy actually my age, and he told me to come into his cell, and he wanted to show me what he did. And I said, I don't know if I want to see what you did, you know. But I went in there, and he showed me his subpoena. He showed me his court paperwork. And his court paperwork, he was in there for murdering both of his grandparents. And I thought to myself, oh my, here I am alone in the room with this guy, you know. But, you know, just being nice, he just wanted to talk. I could tell that even when I wasn't saved, I wasn't completely crazy. You know, I could pick up on certain things. And I could tell the guy really wanted to talk to me. I said, well, you know, what happened? You know, how did it get there? He said, well, one day, and you can take, this is from the mouth of the horse, if you don't mind me saying. He said, one day it was summer break, and he said, I was sitting in the house, and he said, I was going to have me a Rambo marathon. You ever heard of a Rambo marathon? Well, you watch all the Rambos back to back. I don't know much about Rambo. It was before my time. But you know, you watch all the Rambos back to back. And he said, while I was watching Rambo, he said, I was sitting there. He said, all of a sudden, it entered into my mind, I wonder what it would be like to kill a man. He said, so what I did, he said, I knew my dad had a 9mm in the dresser drawer in the bedroom. He said, so I took that 9mm. He said, I went down to the local swamp there. He said, I rode my bicycle. He said, so I just started shooting out into the woods side. He said, and as I shot into the woods a little bit, he said, that impulse of evil instantly came into my mind again. He said, I wonder what it would be like to kill a man. And he was getting passionate when he was talking too. Same face you just made, I made. And I sat there and I thought to myself, I said, so what'd you do then? He said, so I rode down to my grandmother's house. And he said, I went in. He said, I walked to my grandfather's house. I kicked the door open. He said, I pulled my pistol out. He said, I shot my granddaddy sitting at the kitchen table. He said, then I walked back to the bedroom and I knocked on the door. My grandma answered the door in the bedroom. He said, I shot her right underneath the eye. He said, I went out. I spray painted her Explorer. I drove up to Dairy Queen and I got arrested a few hours later. What I'm trying to say is today, friend, be careful what you let into the mind of your children. Be careful what it let you into your mind. You're not above. Everybody in this room today, I feel the Spirit of God just, this is not in my notes, but I'm telling you, everybody in this room today, you're not above. You're not above being influenced by this world if you don't stay prayed up, if you don't stay read up, if you don't stay in the things of God, if you don't stay in church. You're not beyond being influenced, and your children are not beyond being influenced, and your grandchildren are not beyond being influenced by the things of this world. We've got to be careful that we are protecting and we're facilitating the Word of God in their minds. The battlefield's right here, my friend. Paul goes on to tell us here. He says, this warfare we're fighting, he said, it's the way that we think. And the great contrast we have throughout the Bible is this. We know that there is deception. We know that there is lies. And guess who the father of those lies are? John chapter 8 and 44 tells us. It says that Satan is the father of all lies. But then John 16 tells us that there is a spirit of truth and he is the Holy Ghost. So you've got to ask your question today, my friend. Are you underneath the spirit of deception and lies? Are you opening your heart up to the truth and the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost. There's either one Spirit or the other. It's either the Spirit of the Antichrist, or it's the Spirit of Christ. And it's the Spirit of the false prophet, or it's the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You better make your mind up, because what is coming into your mind? What you let into your mind affects the way that you worship God. What you let into your mind affects your speech. What you let into your mind affects your clothing and everything. What's in your mind? You've got to analyze these things. Sometimes you can instantly tell some are so influenced by the world. And what it is, the world is controlling the way that they're thinking. But my God, today if you understand anything, my friend, in this battlefield of the mind, this epic battle of the mind, you better fill it full of the Word of God. I'd rather have the things of God in my mind. Yes, there's times you can be with your family. Yes, there's times of recreation. But I'm telling you this, you better not let this world influence your mind to the place, because so what a man thinks that he is. Don't play games. And let me just, I'm trying to take my time and let's make sure we get through all this. Let's not play games that will cost us our lives. Rabbi Zacharias, the great apologetic man, he said this. He said, we are playing mind games in a world of images. We're playing mind games in a world of images. He also made this statement. He said, we are disconnecting truth in a suicidal society. We are disconnecting truth in a suicidal society. What he was trying to get us to understand this is that this world is full of images. This world is full of information and lies and deception. And we've got to make sure we are just facilitating in our minds the Word of God and what is truth. I'm going to give you three or four different things here I believe is going to help you to overcome the strongholds in your mind. Number one is this today. Paul goes on to tell us this. He said that our weapons are not carnal, but they are what? They are mighty through who? Somebody say it. God. They are mighty through God. That word mighty there means to be powerful. It means to be capable. And through God means supreme divinity or magistrate. What Paul is saying is this. Our weapons are not carnal. They are not fleshly. But they are mighty. They are strong. They are capable. Through God who is divine. Through God who is triune. Through God who is all powerful. And I'm telling you today, my friend, God's got enough power to rip down every wall and stronghold, to destroy every fortress of your mind. No matter what you're going through, God has the ability to do it. Hallelujah. I feel God's presence here to help somebody. Now listen to this today. It says mighty through God. Now when we look at that word through God, give me your attention here. When that word says, it means divine, but it also means magistrate. That word magistrate, just like we have in America, a magistrate is a man of authority, isn't he? If I come and also, if I knock on your door with a police officer and I have a piece of paper and I said, I've got a warrant from the magistrate, guess what that cop is able to do? What he wants to your house, pretty much. Oh, except burn it down, probably. But what I'm saying is, he's there not on his own authority, but he's there on the authority of the man in the court system. So Paul, when he's saying here that our weapons are mighty through God, he's saying, look, you ain't going to be able to fight this on yourself. But there's another authority. There's one that is higher than you. There's one that is more powerful than you. You've got a warrant today. You've got a subpoena today. That no matter what you're facing or what you're going through, you have an authority that you can tell the devil to leave you alone. You can tell peace to enter into your life. You can have Christ to give you victory, because you've got the warrant and you've got the magistrate in your life, and His name is Jesus. Hey, I'll get excited more than you are about this. Have you ever had to call on the name of Jesus and watch the enemy flee? Praise God for it. Amen. You were excited then. Why'd you lose your zeal now? I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing when you're going through battles or going through mind battles, and you call upon the name of Jesus and you feel an authority awaken in you. You know it's the presence of Christ. That's what Paul is saying. Our weapons are mighty through God. Not only are they mighty through God, but he goes on to say this. They are mighty to demolish strongholds. He says this. He says, to the pulling down of strongholds. And what a stronghold was, it was a fortification. It was something means to fortify. It was almost like a castle. When the enemy would capture a certain territory, they would put strongholds together. They would put villages and they would put a castle there. That's what a stronghold was. And so here Paul is describing the mind as the enemy coming in and setting up a castle or a stronghold in your mind, taking residence there. But he's saying, through God, you can demolish the castle. Amen. Through God, you can pull them down. Hallelujah. You can actually see them demolished. You can actually see them come down to pieces. My mind in studying this went back to the walls of Jericho. And we know there the walls of Jericho. The Bible says this. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Can you just imagine this? As Joshua and the children of Israel, they come across the Jordan River. And instantly when Jericho knows that they are there, when Jericho knows that they are with in distance and proximity, what they do, they shut it up. They make sure nothing can come in and they know nothing can go out. I was praying about this and I felt in my heart that God allowed me to see that is some people's minds when they come to church. When you come to church, you know God has the potential to deliver you. So what the enemy wants to do, he wants to shut in your mind. He don't want you to, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. He don't want you to comprehend the Word. That's why He steals the seed when it's sown. He don't want you to know about the things of God. That's why He's going to keep you from being in the house of God. He don't want you singing the songs of Zion. That's why He'll put something in your heart that will prevent that. He don't want you to worship. He don't want you to be faithful. He don't want you to be born again. He don't want you to have victory. So what He does, He begins to harass your mind in the way that you think. But I love when God knocked down Jericho. Anybody remember that? Amen. They walked around the city. Amen. I mean, like seven times. Can you imagine just walking around? Seven times. The trumpets blew. And all of a sudden, Joshua 6:20 says that the wall fell down flat so that the people went up in the city. I'm telling you, friend, what God wants to do for somebody here today, that stronghold that's in your mind, that's Jericho that's in your mind, what God wants to do for you today, so mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, He wants to take that thing that's hindering you. He wants to take that besetting sin. He wants to take that addiction. He wants to take that mindset. He wants to take that lust. He wants to take that unrestful spirit. He wants to take all of that. He wants to knock it down flat. And He wants to give you victory tonight, today, this morning. It's through God. And I love this because I feel like I've got a warrant this morning. I'm not up here preaching because Derek wanted to preach this. I've got a lot of pretty sermons that'll make you smile. But God gave me a warrant to come here and tell somebody God wants to knock the walls down in your mind. You don't have to let it live there. But now notice this. The third thing that He says is this. Not only are they mighty through God, and not only are they mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, but they are mighty to capture the enemy. The Bible says this, Paul says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here what Paul gives us is a picture. He gives us an image of somebody that's going in, they're conquering the stronghold. But not only are they conquering the stronghold, they're arresting the thoughts that held them bound. Think about this. When the Holy Ghost comes into your mind through God, you know, Spirit, God begins to work in your heart. He's not wanting you to have that same mindset. But the Bible says, to the pulling down of strongholds. And then it says this, casting down imaginations. Has anybody ever had God move in their heart before where you felt Him cast something down? And maybe it's just me. That's my terminology. There's times you're going through something, but when God comes in, you just kind of feel it disappear. You feel it go away. What that is, that's the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Captivity was common when somebody that conquered the enemy and asked thoughts of her or the motive or the power of her life. The gospel attacks these thoughts and brings them into captivity, and then we're brought into the obedience of Christ, and we can live without deception. The minefield, the battle of the minefield. Let me read this and we won't be much longer. 2 Corinthians 10:6 says this, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled? I'm going to ask this question as my wife gets ready to go to the piano. The question is today, is not in question, is God able? Does everybody think God's able? Is the blood able? Is God faithful? Yes, yes, yes. All these things are no-brainers and we know this. But let me ask you this question. Are you ready? You can answer that. I can't sit here. You know, I learned before when dealing with people with addictions, different deliverances, people I've dealt with this in the past. I'm just saying in general. Dealing with people who needs deliverance from something, a mind battle or whatever. Number one, you have to want it. I cannot coach you into it. I cannot force you into it. But if you do not want victory over that, God cannot operate over your self-will. So Paul, when he says this, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, what he is saying here is this. He is saying, look, you've got to have a readiness within you. Not only when God pulls down the strongholds in your life, guess what the enemy wants to do? He wants to come back in and he wants to build another one. How many revivals and camp meetings has God ripped down strongholds in somebody's mind for them to go back home and not only let the devil back in, but give him the tools to do it? How many times is somebody going to pray in an altar, get up, and say, look, I've got victory, and it's beautiful, and we'll worship and we'll weep with them, only for them to go back home and watch the same stuff they watched that got them into the mess? You've got to be ready. Having you all readiness. Having you to all readiness to revenge. Not only, hear me today, friend. Not only does God want to deliver you from them things. Not only can you pull down the strongholds. But God also wants to give you the integrity, the desire, and the readiness to keep the enemy out. He wants you to keep the enemy out after He delivers you from what's going on up here. As my wife begins to play softly, I know everybody remembers this tragic event, but how about the attack on Pearl Harbor? Everybody have some knowledge of that. We know that the great tragedy of all of that and all the lives that were lost, and I've always desired to go there and see the memorial. But on December 8th in Japan is what it was. The attack led on the United States entry in World War II at 7:48 a.m. Hawaiian time. They did not see it coming, did they? There's some ideas of intelligence having some knowledge. I don't know about all that detail. I don't. But I know this. There was no readiness when the enemy came to attack them. And the famous, very famous words of the Japanese general that led the attack. He said this, I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant. You remember those words? But he didn't stop there. Not only did he say, did we awaken a sleeping giant, but he also said this, and it filled them with a terrible resolve. He was saying this, not only has we woke them up, but we done put something in them. You understand what I'm saying? What you need to do, my friend, if you went through mind battles, if you're going through mind battles, if you need victory right now, whatever it is, every individual's got to answer the question himself. You know what the enemy comes in sometimes like a flood and does challenge us. It should awaken you, number one, but number two, it should give you some resolve to want to say, look, it will not happen to me again. Many times we become awakened to situations, but in that awakeness we don't have no resolve. So there we fall right back into the same slumber. But when you wake the giant up, and not only that, you wake the giant up and you give him a reason to stand up. I'm telling you today, you have a reason to have resolve against the enemy. If you would stand to your feet today, I hope you receive something. Just try to be obedient to the Lord. Amen. Just try to be obedient. So when the enemy attacks our families, our churches, us as individuals, our minds, it should give you a great resolve to have a readiness to revenge all disobedience. And if every head would be bowed and every eye closed today, just want to be obedient to the Holy Ghost, fill His presence here while we're preaching.